Welcome into Bet On It. I am Kelly Stewart, and we are down to 16 teams here in college basketball. The madness is upon us, and I finally am not just ice cold. Let's bring in, we got a special guest or two today. Let's bring in the first one, Adam Trigger, wagertalk.com. You've been actually the opposite of ice cold. And of course, to his left, Mr. Ralph Michaels, the stat daddy himself. Marco is busy playing like horse trainer or something this week with our lovely horse at Races at the Meadows. Better straighten up. So good luck to her coming off a little injury. We know that's always hard for our athletes. So lots of fingers crossed for that, and maybe some for my trip to Madison Square Garden. But we'll get into that. Adam Trigger, Marco asked to have you fill in because, my God, you have been on a hell of a streak. I believe you cashed another one last night with Wisconsin, but it is Wednesday, and we are talking Sweet 16. Tell me what you got up over at Wager Talk and how your run has really been treating you.
Kel, it's been great. I didn't lose a single bet of the first week of the NCAA tournament. I've got 13 in a row. They don't, you know, the run like this doesn't come around every that often, so try to enjoy it, but also do nothing different than I would do any other day. I've got one play for, you know, for the Sweet 16 that is posted at wagertalk.com. I'm going to give you another on the show for free. That's going to be a 4%er. So hopefully by the time the weekend rolls around or Friday rolls around, the streak is still intact and we can all cash that one together.
I love that. It looks like kind of on the script and the things. I know I traditionally don't look at the script, but because Marco's gone, I have to kind of adhere to it. Oh, and by the way, I threw some shade at Marco, and his response was, but has he hit 25 in a row yet? Not yet, Marco, but he's coming in hot for you, okay? Ralph Michaels, always a pleasure. I know you got some TNA up your sleeve for this round, and also sounds like you've kind of gotten out of that cold streak yourself. How was your first weekend of March Madness? And what do you have going on at wagertalk.com?
You know, the funny thing is the March Madness plays have done great, and I've actually struggled in the other tournaments. And normally I find more value in the NIT, but a disappointing NIT run, and the CBI has been a little indifferent. But look to have three, maybe four plays that are available for this weekend. Thursday card is loaded. Friday will go up now as well. So great time for a week pass or perhaps the rest of the basketball season with the specials at Wager Talk.
All right, we're going to touch on a pair of Thursday games to get it started. And for some reason, Marco doesn't have up K-State, Michigan State, but that's okay. We're going to go Thursday, 7:15 Eastern, 4:15 Pacific, Arkansas, Connecticut. Well, let's see. Adam decided not to wear a suit jacket today and to wear a Huskies pullover. Apparently, he didn't get the dress code. Huskies 4-point favorite here, Adam. Total 140. Talk to me about this UConn team that I know you have a pretty sizable future on.
Yeah, Kel, well, thank you for pointing out this great jacket. I purchased this at the XL Center when I went and saw UConn in mid-February. And I came home shortly after that and bet them to win this whole tournament. I got 30-1, which is a great number based on where they're at now. And Kel, I truly believe that UConn is one of the three elite teams remaining in this tournament. We're actually going to touch on the other two later in this show. But this is a team that does it on both ends of the floor, offense and defense. And I really think that their defense and their ability to defend the paint and to rebound is going to give Arkansas some trouble here. Arkansas, 324th in the country this year in three-point shooting. They shoot about 31% as a team from distance, and you really do need to knock down shots to beat this UConn team because they're so good at defending the paint, and you're not going to get a ton of second chance points. If you go back to the Kansas game where Arkansas came from behind and won, they did it with offensive rebounding, making those athletic plays, and that's just tougher to do against this UConn team. Sanogo for UConn, I was critical of him earlier in the season. I said, yeah, sometimes he doesn't show up. Well, Kelly, he showed up at this tournament so far, 24 points and 28 respectively. He's an absolute machine on both ends of the floor. And this UConn team has shooting. You know, they're only 68th in field goal percentage, 69th in three-point percentage. But there's some real real shooters up and down this team that I think they're starting to really hit their stride. UConn's got 7 to 8 players that I think would be the best player on most teams in the country. They're very deep. They've got size. They're efficient on both the offense and defensive end. And Arkansas, even though Musselman's brought them along, They still have issues, specifically shooting the basketball. I just don't think Arkansas can go 40 minutes without kind of falling into to one of their, you know, stretches where they're missing a bunch of shots. That's not going to fly against UConn. I think UConn gets it done, and they probably get it done by margin here.
Ralph, everybody kind of knows by now the teams that I really focus on are the Power Five schools and my least profitable conference. And I basically stopped in January and said, okay, enough was the Big East. And so I've been dead wrong. And I was had on my lone loser on Sunday. I took St. Mary's plus the 4, 31, 30 and a half, no sweat. St. Mary's defense came to play. And then in the second half, UConn just took over. Is that kind of what we're expecting to see here from the Huskies versus the Hogs?
Well, you got to remember, this Arkansas team is a very young team. They have three McDonald All-American freshmen that were last year one of the top seniors in school. But to me, they seem completely disjointed. You look at the offense the last three games, 41% against Texas A&M, 38% against Illinois, and 41% against Kansas. You look at the box score and you say you allowed Kansas to shoot 48% and you shoot 41% yet you win. Well, again, they missed a lot of shots. Therefore, they had a lot of offensive rebounds. If you're a good shooting team, you're not going to get many offensive rebounded chances. But you look at UConn. When you look at KenPom ratings, there are only two teams in the country that are top 14 in KenPom's efficiency on both offense and defense. UConn is one of them. Houston is the other. That shows the elite type of value. And I think there's actually value in here. So many teams and so many general public bettors look at seedings and they think, well, this team is the better team because they're seated where they are. And UConn, to me, was by far the most underrated team as far as seedings go. KenPom has them as their number 4 team overall. And you look at the UConn defense in the last 6 games, 36%, 35%, 38%, 38%, 41%. They allowed one opponent to shoot over 41%, and that was Marquette. Again, a good offensive team. And I look at Arkansas, and, you know, while many think Nick Smith's their best player, there's something going on there. He only played 16 minutes in that upset against Kansas, shot 0 of 2. So when your best player is not on the court and you're looking for a leader and you're a young team as is, obviously freshmen aren't really freshmen when you get to March Madness when you played as many games as they have. But to me, UConn, just a better offensive team, better defensive team. This game, close to being my best bet on the show and will be on my card as well for this weekend.
All right, speaking of offense, Thursday, 9:45 Eastern, 6:45 Pacific, Gonzaga versus UCLA. Boy, I bet against the Zags the other day. I got very lucky to cover the number with Northwestern. They're now a 1.5-point underdog to the UCLA Bruins, total 145.5. Ralph, bottom line, my notes from that game were, hey, very fortunate to cover it with Northwestern. Because what happened? Drew Timmy took over in that second half. You just mentioned best player on the court. He will be the best player on the court. Here, your thoughts on the slight underdog Zags.
Well, I'll tell you what. I like UCLA so much. And that's with their injuries. Now, let's remember, they lost their best defensive player, the conference defensive player of the year, in the final game. He is out. Plus, you have two other injuries. That is always a concern. So will UCLA make my card? Likely not. You know, Singleton's batting an ankle injury. Bonnet has a shoulder injury. It looks like both are going to give it a go. But when you're down that, plus you're missing Clark, it's a situation where I look at UCLA is the better team. I think Gonzaga is overrated. Yes, they have the best player on the court. But he has not seen this type of defense all season. Remember, St. Mary's is a very good defense. They took care of St. Mary's, but they're also accustomed to that type of style. So I'm going to keep it simple. Clear, lean UCLA. Injuries in this game make me just watch and see if the Bruins can advance being a banged-up unit.
Adam, I always have concerns about smaller conferences, and I know you can only play who you're scheduled. The Zags have kind of gotten past that stigma from the West Coast Conference not playing anyone. They usually have a nice scheduling advantages in the non-conference. Do you think that that actually is going to help or hurt them here versus UCLA? As Ralph mentioned, Zags have been hot down the stretch, but I wonder if they're running into a freight train here with Mick Cronin's squad.
So, Kelly, I don't know that the conference matters, but what does matter to me is that Gonzaga is like 76th in defensive efficiency, total defense, and a lot of those games came against the WCC, which at the bottom this year was not nearly as good as it was projected to be coming into the season. Now, I want to circle back and touch on what Ralph pointed out. UCLA does have some injuries. Jalen Clark, we know he's done for the season. I agree with Ralph. I think Bona and Singleton are going to give it a go, but I would keep a close eye on that, because if they lose another guy, that's where it gets harder, in my opinion, to back UCLA. Now, as far as Clark is concerned, Bailey and Bona should be able to take those minutes. Singleton would be the one I'm concerned with, because he's probably their, you know, one of their best shooters. If he's out, I would shy away from UCLA. But again, I agree with Ralph here. I really like how this matchup plays out for UCLA, because I think UCLA's offense is going to be able to score on Gonzaga's defense, where I'm not so sure the other way around is a given. Gonzaga is a super efficient offense. If you look at offensive listings, they're one of the most efficient top offenses in the country. But this UCLA defense is really, really good. UCLA, number two in adjusted defensive efficiency. And I listened to Dan Dickow, former Gonzaga great, his podcast earlier in the week. He made a great point. And he said Jaime Jaquez is one of the best players in the country. And I actually feel like he gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. I don't know if it's because he plays out in the West Coast, but this is the Pac-12 player of the year. And he's a Gonzaga guy. And he essentially said that Mick Cronin is going to get him in position to win this game, and he will probably do it. And I kind of agree with that. Hawkins, 17.5 points per game, 8.1 rebounds per game. He's elite defensively. He can single-handedly take someone out of the game for Gonzaga. So what I would do here is keep a close eye on the injury report. And as long as UCLA doesn't have like a couple more scratches come game time, I think you can bet UCLA here, and I think you'll get to the window with a win.
All right. We got a pair of agreements, UConn and UCLA for the boys. I think KIV is going to be staying off of both of those. I know we did not touch on FAU Tennessee, but a slight lean. We'll see if I get to the window with the Owls in the best bet segment towards the end of the show. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but it's time after that for special guest number two.
Play Ball. Hot off the press, handicappers from Wager Talk, Sports Memo, and The Gold Sheet have collaborated on the 2023 Wager Talk Media MLB Betting Guide. From World Series odds to regular season win totals and everything in between, this year's betting guide features previews on all 30 teams, all six divisions, and season-long awards like the Cy Young, MVP, and Rookie of the Year. Each preview contains key roster acquisitions and departures to help you get up to speed before opening day. Visit wt.buzz/MLB23 to download your free guide, and we'll see you in the batter's box.
Welcome back to Bet On It. When I started the show, I said we have a special guest, and I actually should have said we have two special guests today. Welcome in Jeff Michaels, JM Sports over at Sports Memo, at JM Sports CLE on Twitter. Jeff, you guys may know Jeff. He is, we call him the stat son over here at Wager Talk, son of Ralph Michaels. He's bringing us some TNA for March Madness. Now, what's best about this is that you and your dad both have access to the same database. So I know you guys went over some numbers last week, but you got to update me. I want to know what has happened so far this March Madness in terms of trends and angles, and give me some Sweet 16 history, because this Wildcats fan is a little nervous about the game tomorrow at MSG.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know my dad mentioned it, but historically this tournament's been a lot about underdogs and unders. And this year we've seen a little bit different look, actually. Favorites have a slight edge, and I say slight. They're 26-25-1 against the spread so far in the tournament this year, but 35 of the 52 games have stayed under the total, so over 67% there. But obviously, we're all here for the Sweet 16 at the moment. And since 2016, that underdog and unders look has been the profitable look in this round as well. You know, favorites just 14-22-2 against the spread. They're covering under 40% of those games. And again, here with the unders, we're looking over 65% there, going 25-13 to the under in the Sweet 16 since 2016. So definitely some underlooks looking forward.
You know, I thought on Sunday, Jeff, we would see some regression, and we saw a couple of those late overs hit, but we know those unders have been making a ton of money. I'm kind of happy to see it as a contrarian there myself, but I need to know Sweet 16 specific trends for this week, tomorrow, and Friday specifically.
Yeah, of course. You know, we're talking unders, and one of the biggest standout looks to me, we got a couple games here that fall into this trend. Both teams covering both games, round one and round two. Three games actually this weekend. We got Michigan State, Kansas State, Connecticut, and Arkansas, as well as that Creighton-Princeton game. It's only happened seven times since 2018, but all seven of those games have stayed under the total. So definitely a look to look at there. And I know everybody loves looking at that Cinderella story. And Kelly, I know you love your underdog money line looks there too. So number two that I'm looking at here, how about teams that are ninth seed or higher that have made it to the Sweet 16 since 2012? Those teams are actually 16-7-1 against the spread. They're covering almost 70% of those games. And they've actually won 11 out of 24 of those games straight up, with 75% of those games, again, staying under the total, 18 out of the 24. But when we look a little more recently, how about since 2017, those teams are 10-3 against the spread, and the under is even more convincing, going 11-2 to the under in those 13 games. And they've won over half. They're actually 7-6 straight up. So that's a look on Florida Atlantic and Princeton this weekend. And for the second look here, how about teams off back?
Jeff, I'm going to cut you off really quick. I'm going to go back to that just because it's really interesting. So as everybody knows, I'm friends with some bookmakers, and I kind of thought I didn't really like either one, whether it be FAU or Princeton this week, but a very prominent bookmaker in Las Vegas texted me, KIV, we need FAU for our lungs. And I wrote back, LOL, good luck. I know there's a lot of really sharp people in Tennessee, but that trend, can you repeat that one more time for me?
Yeah, I gave them both. We'll do since 2017, since it is a little stronger there in the last couple of years. Ninth seed or higher, 10-3 against the spread in the Sweet 16 specifically, and they've actually won 7 out of 13 of those games straight up. So those
lower rated good news for my good friend. Yeah, good news for my good friend John Murray. Maybe they get that FAU upset, and I'm not gonna lie, as a K-State fan, if they were to beat Michigan State, I may prefer FAU over Tennessee. I got to look at that matchup, unfortunately. All right, you've got two more trends for us for Sweet 16 specifics.
Yeah, you know, breaking that down a little bit further, you know, not always do we see those nine seeds playing as the underdog. So how about teams off of back-to-back upset wins going back since 2012? Those teams are just 7-9 straight up, but they've actually covered 68.8% of their games. They're 11-5 ATS. And again, 12-4 to the under, 75% under. And when you add in that they're currently an underdog again of 7 or more points, like Princeton is, 7-0 against the spread since 2012. So back-to-back upsets coming into the Sweet 16 has been a good sign, and does have some angles and trends pointing towards Princeton. But the last one I got for you here, at least Sweet 16 specific, excuse me, underdogs off 3 or more straight wins. What we're looking at here are underdogs in the Sweet 16 that won their conference tournament or won their play-in game. And it does apply a couple times here. We got Florida Atlantic, Gonzaga, San Diego State, and Princeton. Those teams are 14-2-1 against the spread in the last 17 games. So, you know, there is something to be said about undervaluing those conference tournament winners and those teams that are coming in hot here as well in the Sweet 16.
Jeff, I've got a couple more questions for you, but before we get there, I want you to tell me about your 5% play you've got up over at SportsMo for just $9.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been hot college basketball and the NBA, but 4 out of the last 5 in 5% basketball plays, and we've hit over 71% going back to March on those 5% plays. So like you said, it is up for just $9. It's already up and loaded for the Sweet 16 action, and it does have a nice promo code in there saving you some big money on some long-term 30-day packages as well.
Love that, Jeff. You also sent me a TNA PDF, which has all of these trends and more. I know your dad tweeted it out as well. I'm sure they can get it on your Twitter page at JM Sports, CLE. I'm going to screw that one up, aren't I? That being said, I got two more questions for you. Saturday and Sunday is the Elite Eight, and I'm not looking ahead. I promise I'm not looking ahead. I just want to get some TNA so that I can be ahead on some of my bets, because I've got a couple of parties I'm throwing in New York City and I may not be feeling the best come Saturday morning. So help me out here.
Yeah, absolutely. I figured, you know, wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get all the information out before we move on to that Elite Eight. So looking ahead a little bit, you know, that, as I mentioned, those underdogs that have been on a hot run, we just mentioned 3 or more games. How about 4 or more games? And this moves on to the next rounds. Since 2013, an underdog that has covered at least 4 games in a row, 32-13-1 against the spread. They're covering over 71%, and they have been dogs, you know, by a big margin in those. So they are losing straight up on average. So something to look at if you're looking on the money line. And a slightly less convincing total there, but still leaning towards the under 26-20. And that goes towards that Florida Atlantic, Gonzaga, San Diego State, and Princeton look. So any of those 4 teams move on, we will continue to at least keep an eye on them moving forward. And the last one I got for you that, again, will apply Thursday, Friday, but is something to keep an eye on moving forward. A team that has shot 50% or better in 2 consecutive games, just 9-16 straight up. And they're just 6-19 against the spread in rounds 3 or beyond. So that's a look to fade UCLA and potentially fade Texas this Thursday or Friday, before the weekend, and something to keep an eye on moving forward.
Jeff, I'm not going to lie. I was like, I know Jeff did not just come on bet on it and give me a terrifying stat to bet against my Kansas State Wildcats. I was just like, please, 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 please. As soon as you said UCLA and Texas, I got to breathe a little bit. Jeff, it's been a great time. Thank you so much for all of your hard work using your database, TNA, and over at sportsmomo.com. Jeff has cashed 4 straight basketball 5% side plays, cash 71% of his 5% since early December. Head over to sportsmemo.com. You can download his March Madness PDF on his homepage, and you can also take advantage of his 5% play for just $9. Again, make sure you guys are following Jeff at JM Sports CLV and also his dad at Cal Sports LV over on Twitter. Thank you, Jeff. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, it's time to talk about some more Sweet 16, baby.
Have you checked out all the new handicappers at WagerTalk? If not, here's your chance. You can take 50% off your first daily or 3-day all-access purchase at WagerTalk using coupon code TRYWT. Our new roster of experts is 30 deep, covering sports from all around the world, giving you tons of options to choose from. All you have to do to redeem this offer is go to WagerTalk.com, choose a handicapper of your choice, and use coupon code TRYWT at checkout, saving 50% on your first purchase.
Welcome back to Bet On It. Let's talk about some of those Saturday games. First up, wow, we got a doozy here, and I don't really know how I think about this one, and I'm going to let Adam and Rolf do some speaking. Miami has been red hot. Friday, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, 4:15 Pacific. They're taking on Houston, the 1 seed. Oh, Adam, the Cougars. Man, they looked terrible in that first half versus Auburn. And then what happened? Boom, 23-9 run to start the second half, and that was all she wrote. I leaned Auburn in that game, and boy, am I glad I didn't take them. But right now we've got Houston, 7-point favorites, total 138.5. Make this one make sense. Nigel Pack, I do miss him on the Wildcats roster, but he has been heating up well for this Canes team.
Yeah, Kelly, so when we talked about my great UConn jacket earlier, I said UConn was one of the three elite teams that I really absolutely love that are still in this tournament. Well, the most elite team, in my opinion, is Houston. I think this is the best team left. They're my pick to win this thing. I think they actually get there and get it done. And if you look at Houston over the last couple of years, when they've got an advantage at both ends of the floor, they tend to win and cover in those games. And I think that's what we're seeing here. First, I really think that Miami is going to struggle to get their usual looks against Houston. Houston is elite defending the post. Miami doesn't play in the post that often. Outside of Norchad Omier, they're not much of a post-up team. Miami wants to get the ball out on the perimeter. They're going to take a lot of perimeter shots, but Houston is as good as defending the perimeter, contesting shots, blocking shots, as you're going to find in the country. They're the number one rated team at KenPom, and they're a top five team in defensive efficiency. They're going to make life very difficult for Miami on the offensive end. Where I think Houston potentially pulls away in this game, Kel, is on the defensive end. Or I'm sorry, is with their offense against Miami's defense. Miami might be one of the 16 best teams in college basketball. They're certainly one of the 16 still standing, but this team is not inside the top 100 in defensive efficiency. I believe coming into play here, they're 104, and that's just up a little bit from two first-round games where their opponents kind of went cold. Drake and Indiana both had cold spells in those games. I think Houston, who, you know, they're not going to jump off the page on the offensive end if you look at their offensive metrics, but they also don't do anything really. There's nothing they do poorly, and they're an elite rebounding team, number 12 in the country in total rebounds. And as long as there's a good chance they out-rebound Miami regardless, but if they have a really good game plan for Omier, who was banged up, by the way, I think it's still important to note that just because he played last weekend, he was still nursing an injury coming into the weekend. If Houston has a good game plan for him, they're going to have no problem here. Kel, this reminds me so much of last year when Miami was the sort of publicly backed, trendy dog going into the Elite Eight against Kansas, and they got blown out of the gym by 26 points. I'm not sure Houston wins this one by 26, but I do think they win this by double digits. I love the Cougars. I'm laying the points. Houston -7.
Ralph, not that these matter. I only do one bracket a year just for, I guess, social media purposes. But I do have Houston winning the whole thing. But some of their shortfalls have really started to concern me. On the flip side, this Miami team, I know, as Adam alluded to, was a little banged up, but everybody is back. While maybe not 100%, I think that there's going to be a dogfight here, particularly in the first half. Maybe Houston pulls away again late. Help me make sense of this one, Ralph.
Well, Kelly, you had said Miami's red hot coming in. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. You look at their last five games. They lose to Florida State at home. They beat Pittsburgh by 2 at home. They beat Wake Forest in the ACC tournament, and then they lose to Duke. They get by Drake, and they play well against Indiana, one good game. But prior to that Florida State loss, you played Virginia Tech and Wake Forest. I mean, you are talking one of the weakest schedules down the stretch. Remember how far the ACC was down this year as far as a conference goes. And then you look at Miami, and, you know, the one thing that Houston does not have is size. But against Miami, there's no issues with that. Miami's front line, 6'5", 6'7", 6'7". That gives Houston a slight edge. Houston much more physical as well. And while both teams rely on the guards, the biggest mismatch is this. Isaiah Wong is the go-to guy for Miami. Nigel's the ball disher, giving in some scoring. Wong's going to have to guard Sasser. I think that gives him a complete disadvantage when your top offensive guy and you don't have a really another go-to guy has to play defense against the best player on the other team. And you look at Houston, I'm going to throw out a site. I have no connections with this site. It's just someone I look at. It's evanmiya.com. EvanMiya.com. They do a great job giving college basketball players' defensive and offensive ratings. And you look at the Houston ratings, they have five players in the top 40 in the country in their ratings. As good of offense, a better defense, and the matchup size-wise is going to help Houston. And the guard matchup specifically, I think, gives them a big edge. I agree, Houston's the best team. And Adam, you know, if you watch the show, you know Marco and I love to disagree. I don't know, very good or very bad, but our first three opinions are all the same.
Hey, we're either going to be really happy come Sunday, well, I guess technically Saturday, because we're only talking Sweet 16, or I'm just going to blame both of you for all the L's. It'll be perfect. I'll have a good out for why my hot streak ended. Let's kick it right back to Ralph. We're going to do Xavier, Texas, Friday, 9:45 Eastern, 6:45 Pacific. This is a fishy one, if you will, Ralph. Texas -4, total 149.5. I know you just corrected me on Miami being red hot, but I should have specifically mentioned just in the tournament. That being said, Texas, I don't know what to make of this team. I kind of bashed them after Chris Beard was vacated, if you will. And Rodney Terry's done a pretty solid job since March started with this team. They beat KU not once, but twice. They beat them at home and then again in the Big 12 tournament. I don't know if they've really been tested. Let's say that. Do you think that Texas has been tested so far in March?
Well, you look at the tournament, you beat Kansas to win, you know, you beat Kansas in the regular season finale, then Oklahoma State, TCU, and Kansas. To me, it's going to be defense here. You know, you have offense versus defense. The difference is, while Xavier's defense is middle of the road for, you know, top 100 teams, they're in the 60 ranges, Texas defense is elite. I do want to bring this up. I give a 1.5, maybe a 2-point edge to Texas. This game in Kansas City, just where they played the Big 12 tournament. So you just played three games ago here. You took the Big 12 title, and now you're playing in the same venue. Huge edge. I think it'll help them to get out to a quick start, first half especially. I also want to mention, I neglected to mention UCLA. Remember, they're playing in T-Mobile where they play the Pac-12 tournament every year. So UCLA has that same home court edge. Yes, Gonzaga plays in Vegas, but the WCC tournament is in Orleans, not in T-Mobile. So two teams with significant edges having played this game where the same tournament is. You know, I look at Xavier and their issues are they don't force turnovers on defense. Texas takes care of the ball. To me, I like this Texas team. I think, you know, to get through the adversity they did, to have an interim coach bring you this far, obviously, you know, does Sean Miller's experience give him an edge here over Terry? I think it does. But I also don't like fast-paced teams playing in this tournament. Xavier does not use a lot of people. A lot of bench people. In fact, they are, I'm looking up KenPom right now, they're 310 as far as bench minutes. So against this team, if anyone in Xavier gets an early foul trouble, it's clearly a live betting situation to jump on Texas because of their lack of depth. Texas has much more depth. Texas is much more physical. And when I have a fast-paced team that's mediocre on offense against a very physical defensive team, I'm going to side with Texas. And I'll give a lean for the first half as well. They shot well against Kansas in the Big 12 tournament. It'll certainly help them this game.
Yeah, I am very glad that K-State got to face Texas very early on to start the conference season. Texas has been red hot. Now, Adam, I'd like to stand corrected. I said that they have been playing really well, but I forgot about that first half versus Penn State. Struggled there early, pulled away at the end. Do you have concerns about the Longhorns potentially doing that against a really powerful Big East team?
No, Kel, I have zero concerns at all. Texas is elite team number three for me. We talked about the other two, UConn and Houston, earlier in the show. I truly believe Texas is the third team that has a really good chance to win this whole thing. And this is a great matchup for Texas, okay? Zach Fremantle's been out since January 28th. He's not coming back. Foot surgery, his season has been done. That's baked into the line. But this is a matchup where they're really going to miss him. 58.5% from the field. He gets on the he was their inside guy, 8.1 rebounds per game. It hasn't mattered in every single matchup for Xavier because they still run quality offense. But here against Texas, it will, because Texas's post defense is elite. They're not going to give Xavier much inside, and they're gonna force Xavier into shooting the basketball, which is probably not their path to victory here. I also, Kelly, you mentioned that Kansas State game earlier in the season. Listen, I keep not hearing a lot about the adversity Texas has faced all season. Remember, Chris Beard was the coach of this team. They had to overcome that in the middle of their season, which, you know, I mean, there was a pretty big distraction there. But Texas has sort of rallied since then. And I really think that the rotation we're seeing now from Texas is sort of the optimal rotation. They've figured out the right mix of players, the right minutes. I'll give you an example. I think Dylan Disu is the best player on this Texas team. If you take into account offense and defense, he's only averaging 19.5 minutes per game this year, but recently he's been playing more like 30 minutes a game. He was the breakout player in the Penn State game at 28 points. So, you know, the fact that I think Texas now, a team that's got six or seven guys that would start for just about most teams in the country, now that they kind of have their rotation in play, in position, I think that's big. Xavier, Ralph mentioned it, they play six guys. Like, at this point, they're not really going deep in their bench. They're playing six guys, and they're going to live and die with those six guys. Xavier was in an amazing position against Pittsburgh, Kelly. Pittsburgh was playing their third game in 6 days, and Pittsburgh cannot defend elite offense. Texas can defend elite offense. They have the athletes to do it. And if you look at what they've done sort of recently, blowing Kansas out in the Big 12 title game, that was a tricky Colgate team in the first round that spaces the floor, and Texas was able to sort of thwart any run Colgate had, defend the three-point arc. They weren't able to sort of shoot the ball. Then we'll go to the Penn State game. That told me all I need to know about Texas, Kel. Penn State punched them in the mouth in the second half, came back from down eight to take a three-point lead with 5 minutes to go, and Penn State did not score for 4 minutes after that. Texas's defense was phenomenal. Disu was making shots. There's no doubt in my mind that Texas is the superior team here. I think it's a really good matchup for them, and I think they cover and win this one going away.
And with that, it sounds like we have a full four-game sweep with Ralph and Adam. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, it's time for Best Bets.
Play ball. Hot off the press, handicappers from Wager Talk, Sports Memo, and The Gold Sheet have collaborated on the 2023 Wager Talk Media MLB Betting Guide. From World Series odds to regular season win totals and everything in between, this year's betting guide features previews on all 30 teams, all six divisions, and season-long awards like the Cy Young, MVP, and Rookie of the Year. Each preview contains key roster acquisitions and departures to help you get up to speed before opening day. Visit wt.buzz/MLB23 to download your free guide, and we'll see you in the batter's box.
Welcome back to Bet On. It's now time for Best Bets, and I dressed the occasion. I wore some lavender, and truth be told, Marco is not here to take my best bet, but Ralph Michaels did. So I went with a pivot, and that is, of course, I'm going to take the +2 with the Kansas State Wildcats. As Adam Trigger likes to say, I'm worth a couple of points to be there in person, right? Is that how the handicapping part of that works? Just kidding. That being said, listen, Sparty, Izzo in March, I bet against him, full disclosure. I had USC. I really thought Andy Enfield's team was going to step up versus this team, and they did not. USC looked absolutely atrocious. Then Michigan State comes back. Nice win over 2-seed Marquette. I think that's where the rubber's going to meet the road here. We've got a really solid offensive team versus a really solid defensive team. One team likes to play fast. One team likes to play slow. K-State's Achilles heel all season long has been their turnovers. They finally, on KenPom, have gotten under 20 turnovers per game on average. But when they turn the ball over less than 19 times a game, you know what that equates to? W's. Who doesn't capitalize off turnovers, is particularly on defense. That's right. It's the Michigan State Spartans. They could get hot from three, and you guys would be all over me about this homer pick of mine, but that is okay. No disrespect to Michigan State. Their defense has been rock solid. When they hold teams to 60 points or less, they're 10-0. And when they don't, they are 11-12. How many times has K-State scored fewer than 60? Just one time this year. I know Kentucky out-rebounded the hell out of this team. But K-State learned something in that game, and that was to try to get those second-chance points off the glass. And they're not going to have those problems against Michigan State because that is not their forte. Sure, the Spartans are going to play a tough defensive game, so it is going to be offense versus defense. But boy, that guard play from Kansas State, they start firing some of those threes. Unlike in that Kentucky game where they went 4 from 20, I think the Wildcats are going to be able to get the W here. Current line on the Wager Talk odd screen, +1. There is some +2s out there, so make sure you guys shop around. And slight lean to the under from Jeff Michaels, TNA. Adam Trigger, what is your best bet for the Sweet 16?
Well, Kelly, as you can see, I dress for the occasion as well. My UConn zip up. I do like them, but my best bet for the Sweet 16 is going to be Houston laying the 7 points against Miami. Kelly, I said it earlier in the show. This just is reminiscent of last year when publicly backed Miami ran into Kansas in the Elite Eight and got blown out by 26. And while I don't know if Houston's going to get this done by 26, I do think they can pull away by double digits. And the biggest reason I think they can pull away is because I think they're going to be scoring consistently. And when Houston can score consistently, they typically win and they typically cover. If you look back at this last sort of 3 or 4 year period where they've been this dominant Houston team, Kelvin Sampson, if he can neutralize Norchad Omier, which I think he can, I think Miami might have a harder time scoring. Miami gets nothing in the post. It's going to be all shooting from the perimeter, and Houston does a great job of defending the perimeter, specifically contesting shots, blocking shots. They're really going to force Miami to knock down shots to stay in this game. I really, you know, Houston fourth in adjusted defensive efficiency. Overall, they're the number one rated team at KenPom, and I think that is accurate. I just see Houston superior at both ends of the floor. I really think Miami is going to have a scoring drought somewhere in this game because they're either not getting offensive rebounds, losing the rebounding battle, getting nothing on the inside, and settling for a lot of tough three-pointers. And I think that's where Houston pulls away. Again, I can't say enough about Houston. I really do think this is the best team remaining in the tournament. And I'm going to lay the touchdown here, Kelly. I think they win this one by double digits. It's also a 4% play, a client play for me at Wager Talk. Hopefully, my run is still intact when this one tips off on Friday night.
All right, Adam Trigger is going to lay the touchdown, and Ralph Michaels and I are going to take one. Ralph, give us your best bet for the Sweet 16.
Well, I'm going to go to the Aztecs. And, you know, Nate Oates, if you read the quotes, and, you know, every coach always keeps their players motivated and say, well, you know, we've struggled against physical teams and it is an issue, but, you know, San Diego State is a physical team. Alabama is an elite defense, but they sometimes play hectic. They play such a fast pace, one of the top five fastest tempo teams, but they don't force a lot of turnovers. You look at the San Diego State team, one of the most experienced in college basketball. Five players, all five starters, started at least 33 games this year. You have so much continuity. You have a team that has had single-digit turnovers in 6 of the last 10 games they played. Kelly, you were talking about 18 or 19 turnovers in yours. Imagine having under 10 turnovers in over half of your games down the stretch. Granted, the competition's not nearly what it is against this Bama defense. And when you look at Bama, what do? They come down, they shoot threes. They're one of the highest three-point shooting teams in the country. San Diego State's defense, number 4 in three-point D. You have a fast-paced team against a slow-paced team. You have a veteran San Diego State team that can keep this close. They're not going to get frazzled with the pace. They are going to take Alabama out of their regular-type game, slowing the rotation a bit. And I do think they're a live dog here to pull the upset. My best bet, I'll take the Aztecs plus the points.
I love that, love that, love that. I will be joining both guys on their best bets. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, it's time for the recap.
Have you checked out all the new handicappers at Wager Talk? If not, here's your chance. You can take 50% off your first daily or 3-day all-access purchase at Wager Talk using coupon code TRYWT. Our new roster of experts is 30 deep, covering sports from all around the world, giving you tons of options to choose from. All you have to do to redeem this offer is go to wagertalk.com, Choose a handicapper of your choice and use coupon code TRYWT at checkout, saving 50% on your first purchase.
All right, let's recap those sweet 16 bets. This one's an easy one for me. Everyone agrees on everything. I don't know how that's going to play out for us. But that being said, the boys are both going with UConn -4 over Arkansas, UCLA -1.5 over Gonzaga, Houston -7 over Miami, and Texas -4 over Xavier. As far as best bets go, I'm taking my alma mater because Ralph Michaels likes San Diego State +7.5, which I adamantly agree on. And Adam Trigger, who has been red hot over at wagertalk.com, Houston -7, giving you guys a free 4% play for the Sweet 16. As always, thank you guys for hanging out with us each and every Wednesday here on the college basketball edition of Bet On It. Good luck this weekend in your Sweet 16 and Elite 8 bets. We will be back for the Final Four. Until then, let's bet on it.